And numbers and door admissions, we brought in $20,531. Season passes, which were 160 season passes, $3,331. For our lessons, it was $10,576, with $5,000 of that grant money from Kaiser, which we did our wonderful Kaiser program. They gave our youth a swim lesson and a season pass for the year to practice and encourage their water safety and their skills. The snack bar we brought, amazingly, $1,358 in. In expenses, in our lifeguards, it was $28,523. We had our pool manager and our maintenance worker, $6,100. For our cashier, $2,000. And as far as our operating expenses, our chemicals were $4,600. Water, which is a one-time basically expense, we hope we don't have to spend this again, $11,000. PG&E, $4,700. Supplies, $4,600, which hopefully some of those supplies will carry over for next year, like our lifeguard tubes, our AED, different things like that. Snack bar and expenditures, we spent $469, which is a great return to create a revenue of $1,358. Yes. And for publicity was $2,125, which also included our rec guide that went out with all of our programming to all of our residents in the Bay Point area. So in that, our total income was $35,796. And I do apologize, I didn't have copies, but I left it in the spot on the desk. For the expenses, including personnel and operating, was $63,689. Which gives us about a 60% recovery, which on a national average in the aquatic industry is dead on.
Yeah, that's
so it's a
great.
It was a great year. And this is with a season that started on June 7th, and we ended on Labor Day. With the marketing actually slowing down a little bit right before the season, not knowing with all the rain we had exactly when our date was to open. And we had to eliminate our rentals this season because of the fact, I don't know Mr. Hoagland knows, the lawn area was having some issues. Next year, our goal is to bring additional revenue with additional lessons, bringing camps in there, including rentals, weekends, weeknights, and weekend rentals. Hopefully enhancing the area with having a party area and a private rental area during our open swim time, enhancing our lessons morning and afternoon, earlier in the season, continuing later in the season, adding additional maybe exercise classes and things. What we need to do is create programming, say in May and in September, that would suffice us to be open longer. We need to add those additional programs so we can stay at that 60% recovery rate. So really excited about it.
Yeah,
it was a great year. Do you have any questions or concerns?
Matt.
I really want to say I've been to the pool, and it is just so lovely. It's just so enhanced. I mean, I really, the only thing I want to say is we need more barbecue pits, but I mean, that's here nor there. But I'm being honest with you, it is just so wonderful to not find a parking there, and to see the people, and the kids are just running all over the place. They are the main ones that are having the fun.
Well, and I would like to share with you, since we opened the pool, it's been amazing. We've had 400, on Monday of Labor Day, I think we had 400 to 500 people at the park. Every weekend, the evenings, it has brought families and people together.
Mm-hmm.
So what it has done to that park, Ambrose Park, has been absolutely amazing. So I think it's enhanced our park as well, having the pool there.
Yes, it has.
Steve?
I have to say, your staff and you have just been amazing. As you know, I was there a couple of times this year. And the atmosphere, the attitude of the people who were there, the few accidents were the I'm running on this pool deck, which I'm not supposed to be doing, and I fall down and I scrape my knee. And that was the worst kind, you know. So we didn't have any horror stories. And so your team did an amazing job. Thank you very much. My wife and grandchildren used and abused it as often as they could. And hopefully if we can figure out the grass thing. And I think part of the grass thing was, it wasn't a complaint. It was, doggone it, too many people are there.
Yeah.
And doggone it, they were using it too fast. I mean, they put the grass in on like what, Tuesday or Thursday before we opened on Saturday?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's supposed to have 2 weeks with nobody on it.
Yes.
It didn't have 2 days. Okay. Yeah. So what you all did was great, and how you brought it back at the end, the part of it was great. So thank you very much. I have to tell you that my grandkids immediately at the first day of school said, now we're on the pool.
Oops.
And I said, oops, no we're not.
Yeah.
It's closed. So, you know.
They enjoyed it. They'll look forward to next year. Also, NRG is putting in the sail covering on that lawn now that that's getting approved and released to us. So we will have a covering in the lawn area, which will be great. I think that will be just a plus for people because we had a very hot summer and that covering will be amazing.
Yes. Hey, that's what we got to do. We got to get pop-ups or something and rent them.
Yeah.
We could have made a killing.
Yeah. Exactly.
My wife would have written my monthly check back to the district.
Well, now it's time to get to work and plan an exciting 2018 season. Add more for our community. Let them know for sure we're there. Enhance our signage and get more people to enjoy what we have.
Can I ask you about our sister site, how it's doing on its weekends in September?
Well, of course, last weekend was good because it was hot, but I'm just going to tell you, in all the years I've done aquatics, 20 plus years, even being open in September, it just doesn't do well even on a hot day compared to a summer. So you have sports going on at this time. You have people focusing on school, so it's not as effective. I really wish all the schools would go to traditional, where the kids, you know, get out, don't go back to school till the day after Labor Day. But one of the issues with Ambrose is you have three school districts with three different starting times, three different ending times. It'd be so nice if everybody could go one time. But those are the challenges that we work through. Mm-hmm. We try to accommodate every school district to be sure we're there for them as well. And when they're in school, they can have back to you know school events at the end of the year. When we're open, they could have end of the school, graduation parties, school events, you know, besides adding camp programs that we'd really like to add there as summer camp.
You guys did a great job, so.
Yeah. Thank you.
Mr. Yeah. General Manager and your staff, thank you.
Thank you.
Moving along, number 5 presentation by Paul Bergadino of the County and Natural Department regarding an ADA project for the center.
Great. No, I'm excited to hear about this pool project. I know you guys have been looking to do that a long time.
Yes.
Hopefully we have a project that's another sort of long-awaited thing that we can bring and, you know, continue making things better here, or improving things here in the Ambrose District. Good evening, Madam Chair, board members, members of the public. My name is Paul Bergarino. I'm from the Contra Costa Election Division. Joining me here this evening from our office is Scott Konopasek, our assistant registrar of voters, and Aaron Mendez, our elections outreach coordinator. I'm here tonight to present a proposal that we feel will provide a long-term benefit to the residents of Bay Point and help us continue our goals of promoting civic engagement and community pride. I'm going to start by telling a little story with a little bit of background here. In 2014, County Clerk Recorder Joe Cancimilla launched a civic engagement program that's been focused on getting residents excited about being a part of civic life beyond, you know, just participating in Election Day. Over the last 3 years, we've created several community programs, including, I've been here a few months ago talking about our program we created here in Bay Point, and that program has been funded in part by the Keller Canyon Mitigation Fund grant. We've been here, we've established a 1-day-a-week presence here at the Ambrose Community Center, and we see that firsthand just that it's just really a hub for a lot of community activities, from seniors who use it for CC Cafe, people who come here for financial assistance with Spark Point, teens, families who use it quite a bit. And even our office, we've used Ambrose for Election Day for decades. So as our civic engagement program, as we've entered into our second year with the Keller King Grant, we're looking to continue to energize community involvement and find new creative ways to continue our mission. Our staff, we recently met and we discussed some ways that we can leverage this grant money to engage residents in a meaningful way. And during the time that, as we've been discussing this, we've also, our office has also been looking to about some of the accessibility issues we have at all of our polling places throughout the county. And as we've been going through this, we found that Ambrose has some serious accessibility issues that have to be mitigated so people can use the site on election day. In fact, the U.S. Department of Justice has recommended that this is one of the sites that we discontinue using, and we disagree. We know that there are few locations in Bay Point that we can really sort of harness and use, and this is one that we strongly feel that we can come up with, we can rectify this. So our proposal is we've proposed a permanent solution that would address some of these issues here at the Ambrose Community Center. And so we would make it not just accessible on election day, but we would be able to make it accessible 365 days a year. So everybody can reap the benefits of this year on a year-round basis. And this would also allow us, we could see using Ambrose as one of our early voting locations on election time. This is a new program we started last year where we have a polling place where people can come vote a week before election day, so for several days in a row. So we feel this could be a long-term benefit and get more people involved here locally in the process and voting. When we initially started batting around this proposal, we thought it was a good idea, but we thought it could be something where we could really use it and get community members involved also and be a part of doing some of these improvements that we planned. But as we started looking at the totality of the scope of work, it became clear that it's going to be too complex and we would have to contract it out. But we still wanted to be able to hold an event in tandem with it. So what we were looking at is creating a part, like here on the complex itself, here at this community center, that could have a community volunteer component. So what we're proposing is on March 10th to have an event that goes along to that, where we can beautify the Ambrose Community Garden, and so we can get it ready for the 2018 growing season. So before the meeting here, after I set up the PowerPoint and set up, you know, doing the getting ready here, I went out and checked out the garden, and there are some things that we could do. We could do some weeding, we could fix some of the planter boxes, we could get a lot of coordinate getting a lot of community volunteers there for a one-day event. So I'm going to talk to you through a little bit about our approach. We see, like, we could use our Keller Canyon funds for this project. Additionally, we could solicit some money or in-kind donations from the different businesses and groups. We could also try to seek other community grant-type funding sources.
Yeah, can I ask one question, because we're confused? The volunteer day is?
We would propose it for March 10th.
10th, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. I'll get through this and then we can read more
thank
questions
you.
Sort of thing. Yeah, feel free to interrupt me. We would use some funds from our elections budget, and then also we would see if there would be a possibility of district contribution to include with the project. So now I'll talk to you. You're like, Paul, this is cool, but what are the pieces of the project that we're looking at? So the first part of the scope of work is, as you're coming in on the parking lot, coming in off of Willow Pass, and you look on the left-hand side, there's a couple of handicapped parking spaces that are there to your left, right by the circular planter. Mm-hmm. We would remove and replace that existing curb ramp to make it a little more accessible, and we would install some new slurry on that parking lot piece and signs, and do some restriping of the parking stalls. We make it so that it's easier for those to get onto the... We would repair the path of travel service. So as you can see from the pictures here, and I'm sure you guys have, so when you go out there, the wood planks between the cement, they're rotting and they need to be replaced. And also, once we would do that, we would also be able to grind down some of the cement so that way it's a smooth surface as you're going from the parking lot to the door. Now, the door itself, we would look at replacing the door with the one that's more accessible, and we would also look at replacing the the landing, so the slope of the sidewalk as you're approaching the door. So that way it would eliminate the, right now if you see there's like that door threshold that sticks up a little bit. And so on election day, we have to mitigate that. So if we were able to work doing, we see the scope of work as we'd be able to level that out so it would be easier, so people, it wouldn't be a barrier for people walking in.
Right.
Our timeline for this project would be from September to December. We would request and secure bids for the concrete and the door work. We would find interested partners to, in tandem to be work to move forward with the garden project. And we would continue to identify and solicit additional funding sources, the additional funding sources I mentioned. In January and February of next year, we would start, after we got all the bids, we would start the concrete demolition and repaving work. And we would coordinate the volunteer effort that we're looking for on March. And then on March 10th, we would do an unveil or sort of just show off to the public, you know, the work that we've done and that how there's a new accessible path from the parking lot to the door. And we would have the community garden beautification event and, you know, hopefully getting a lot of community involvement with that and getting a lot of people out and enjoying the spring weather and making the community garden, I'm sure, what you guys all envisioned when you created that project 7 years ago. So I know this is something that we're pretty excited about. We want to be able to, you know, bring a lot of our, continue to have our polling place here in Bay Point and, you know, being able to provide service for residents, not just on election day, but throughout the entire year. And we feel it'll greatly benefit the Ambrose Community Center patrons and the greater Bay Point and Pittsburgh area. So with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
I have a question, and what my question is, have you and Doug have discussed all this, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, our staff, we met with Doug last week.
Okay.
Talking about some of the particulars, well, and how we could move forward with it.
Okay, because I really think this is a positive, you know, a really good positive to Ambrose here, because what you're talking about here is all things, you know, even in a wheelchair, it's kind of hard to get over that. The little things there, unless you've been in a wheelchair, you don't really know. And with the parking things, with where the handicap is, I mean, it would be nice to have it a little bit wider, you know, to have a ramp to go up, you know what I mean? To work, because you just have it right there. And unless you park your car a little bit more, it's kind of hard to get a wheelchair through there. But I think it's all positive. I think it's a good thing to do.
Yeah, I believe as we've been looking at that scope of work, and I know Aaron here can probably talk a little bit more about the particulars about this, about the project and what we've been looking at as far as the surveying,
mm-hmm.
but I believe that that would make it wider, and that's part of the making it more accessible would be that it's easier to maneuver.
And then your company, I mean, they're going to, wow, that's really great for them to do that for us. I really think so.
Well, I guess the only question I have is you talked about the sloping up to the door. And I understand removing the threshold for the wheelchair access, but you're not talking about changing the elevation of the ramp, right? I mean, because if it rains a lot, we don't want the water going in the door because it doesn't have a threshold. And so as long as it's the way it is now, the elevation, the incline is now,
mm-hmm.
you can't get water in the door. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I believe so. So do you guys want to?
Yeah. Any door that we would replace it with would still have a threshold, and it would not be such a barrier. There are specifications for what's acceptable. And we know that there's an issue with the water puddling on the sidewalk there. We would ensure that the entire path of travel met all of the slope requirements required by the ADA, but also did not create any water issues for you guys.
Cool. No, I think it's amazing. I cannot thank you guys enough for working with Doug on it, and it we want to partner with the county as often as we can. and when they're willing to come and help us in this kind of a way, it certainly benefits you on election day, which is great for one day a year or one day every 2 years. But for us, it's 364 mm-hmm. the other days that we have to worry about. So
right.
It's a good idea.
Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, I want to say thank you to you because you've always been very supportive to the Amherst District. You always, and thank you for sticking up with us.
Mm-hmm.
That's important. And again, like he said, it's a plus for us to partner with the county. Now, I work in the building, so it all sounds great, but I just, the one thing that, I don't know if it's planned, but on the, going up to the door, that area is very slippery, and I don't know if that's part of one of the things that you will be dealing with. That, you know, the section going up to the door.
Okay.
It's people, I've been here a long time and many people have fallen in the slippery
mm-hmm.
during the rain season. So everything else, I've never heard anybody complain about, but that was the only thing.
Is that it's too slick?
It's just, you know, and that's, I mean, like I said, everything else, people, I've never heard people talking about that it's too small, or, but that's always been a problem. Every winter, we have somebody saying, you know, our children, they have
mm-hmm.
actually fallen. So that's the only thing.
We can add that to our request for bids and proposals
yeah.
To see if they have a way of mitigating that. They might be able to put a surface coating on it
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
put down some sand or something. So yeah, we'll check into that because we noticed that while we were surveying.
Yeah.
And we could see the adhesive patches that you put
mm-hmm.
there
mm-hmm.
and we could see where the water puddled and everything. So yeah, that is an issue because it does affect accessibility, not just for someone in a wheelchair, but for
yeah,
anybody
walking.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Paul.
Thank
yeah.
you.
Thank you, guys.
Okay. Number six, the general manager's report. The general manager will give us an oral update on district issues and activities.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to inform the board that the sale of the Clearland property offer has fallen through. They have backed out of the deal for two reasons. One is some pending legislation that would affect their ability to conduct business, and the other is because there was some zoning issues that they thought that they would not be able to comply with, even though they were given very specific information about zoning. They exercised their 90 days to rescind their offer, and they just actually pay $100 to the district, and they're on their merry way. They are, our real estate agent did contact the secondary business that had put in an offer, but they had already found another alternate location. So we're back to square one. She did contact me, Sandra Wick, our sales representative, did contact me, and she's been in conversation with, I believe, four different agencies who are looking at the property. So she thinks that there's still some possibility for activity shortly. It does affect kind of how our plans were for a CIP, a capital improvement project program. Because we will not have that money to lean on. As we will look in later on in the budget, we have some, but we're really at this point still in the reactive stage instead of proactive stage because of the district's financial condition. But you'll notice that it has improved, but it has taken a little bit of a step back because of this temporary setback. Hopefully we will get back on track with a new offer soon enough. The slide at Lindbrook Park has cracked. These things do wear out. Somebody sat on it, and it just, with the sun exposure, it just gave in. So we've made provisions to tape it so people would not use the slide. We actually tried to bond it so it wouldn't create a hazard for anybody that just went through the barrier and sat on the sign, but that didn't hold. So I did contact the playground installers and manufacturers, and the replacement of the slide is $5,000, and that's installing it ourselves. These things aren't cheap.
How long has it been?
About
It's got to be a long time, because the county put those in.
When they built the park and they took the wood out, then they put that in. So that has been there quite a thing. And I mean, lots of children are on that. I'll be honest with you, it's used constantly.
These things do have a lifespan, and that reached its end. Unfortunately, we have to kind of piecemeal these things. But and we want to get to something like this right away. We don't want to keep this, you know, in a position. So I'll be moving on this rather quickly. Also, they did a tree assessment around the park. I asked them when they were there. It was one felled tree that we needed to take out. It had fallen in a neighbor's yard. So we got a few bids on that and ended up going with Pacific Site Management to remove the tree, but I asked them to assess all the trees in the area, and they came up with a program. They called it phase 1, 2, and 3. Phase one being the most critical, and the entire cost of taking care of all the issues out there is $15,000. And so you can see, as we speak, that the requirement for some of these projects that really need to be done start chewing into any reserves the district may have.
I have a question. Are you going to, I know that some are coming down, are you guys going to put more up, more plant more trees?
Yes, usually if something comes down, we try to replace that.
Okay, thank you.
Volunteer recognition, we're looking at doing a special event in December. Last year we did the 70th anniversary. We wanted to continue to build on that. And there's what better way to recognize the people that we work with throughout the year, all of our volunteers and our community-based organizations. So we're looking into doing something like that. I think that the district expressed an interest in continuing this, and this is also an opportunity to promote our foundation. So we're looking into that. I'll have more information about that and the details as we move forward. I just wanted to comment also about the amazing attendance that we had at Ambrose Park throughout the summer. It is just something that probably this district hasn't seen in a long time. Staff did ask some of the people where they were from, and they were coming from Concord. Word of mouth, they just found out this is a wonderful place to have a picnic. Our staff was there on the weekends. They were servicing each one of the groups. Their garbage was emptied. The barbecues were clear. And that's why we had this return consistently. Both parking lots were often full. And again, this is something we have not seen for a long time. It is a great, great park, great footprint for a park. And it's wonderful to see that people were taking, utilizing, and I'm assuming that this is going to continue. So we know that that can be expected as we move forward. Community garden update. Jasmine Tin has been coordinating volunteer efforts. She's been in contact with Paul, I believe, about probably working together for that March 10th date. She's working with Contra Costa Health Services and getting some ideas from them. There's an Eagle Scout that wants to use the garden as their Eagle Scout project, fixing some of the garden boxes out there. And we recently did the water to the garden properly. Before, it was kind of done with community volunteer efforts and kind of haphazardly put together. It was a manual operation at best. They had a battery-operated controller on there, which, you know, if the batteries go out, you lose the water. And so I got together with the Pacific Site Management, told them what we're trying to do. And they completed that, so it's now it's on a regular irrigation controller, and so we got water to the site. Now volunteers can take it from that point out to the garden, and it'll make it much, much easier, and it can be timed and done properly. So we've made some headway on that. Just to let you know that I did inform the board there was a break-in at the pool. Our staff did a remarkable job in putting this pool together in the 24 hours before the long Labor Day weekend. They ransacked it and did quite a bit of mischievous damage there, but they were able to take care of that, which made me consider the fact that we need to bolster our security there. I did contact several agencies and consulted with a legal counsel on putting barbed wire fencing on there that would prevent people from crawling over the top. There are some additional funds left over from the project, we think. We haven't completely audited yet. But if that's available, I'll be coming back to the board asking for permission to maybe install a security fence there to help bolster the security, because it'll get quite costly if this continues to happen. Other than that, that concludes my report. Thank you.
Madam Chair, can I ask a question? And again, to you and the staff that turned it in no time at all from a problem for a holiday weekend to being a success, they all deserve a huge pat on the back. So thank them for us. Can, first of all, did I understand that the culprits were caught?
They were caught, yes.
Okay. Second of all, is there not a way to install a camera that can be connected to the PD's camera bank?
Yes, there are two cameras up there currently. And they were supposed to be designed specifically for pole use. Their proximity to the pool is a little too far to get any real clear description when somebody's in the pool. Mm-hmm. So they're actually looking at adding an additional camera at the city of Pittsburgh's expense. So we're going to let that play itself out before we actually volunteer any more additional surveillance. It can be quite expensive, but it would be a tool that would be very valuable. Now, we have to understand a lot of the damage is being done by transients. And there's not a whole lot to do for restitution once it's damaged. Yeah. Damaged. The only thing is prevention at this point, or something that we see in there. There, somebody's alerted right away. They can speed up, minimize damage. But that's what we're hoping to do.
Number seven, legal counsel report. Do you have none? Number eight, public communications. At this time, the public may make comments on matters not on the agenda, but within the jurisdiction of the Board of Directors. Speakers are limited to 3 minutes. A request to speak form should be submitted to staff prior to speaking. No action will be taken by the Board of Directors. Written communications received regarding items not on the agenda will be filed and may be read into the record at the discretion of the Board Chair. Do we have any public communication? No. All right. Moving on. Nine. Four maps. Individuals wishing to speak on items included on this agenda to first fill out and submit a request to speak form to be recognized by the chair. Please address the board and limit your comments to a specific item being discussed at the time. Speakers are limited to 3 minutes. 9A, consider approval of the 2016-2017 final budget.
You all got the notes and the budget that I'm proposing for the final for last year. It will, between income and expenses, we were underspent by about $190,000. That may be changed when the audit is completed, mm-hmm. but it changes, but not that much. So other than that, the property taxes, we did very well. We got 70,000 more than we expected, more than last year. And I had to wait until the middle of July or the end of July to get that information. They were late this year for some reason getting me the final thing. But we ended up getting our $580,000, I believe. What I have here? Yeah, $580,859 is what we received from last year. And the year before that, it was only $530,000, not even that, $520,000. But anyways, that was excellent. That helped a lot. The teen center contract went up from last year, actually from the year before. They increased the salaries for Randy. He hadn't had a raise in many years, and they realized that, and they increased that, and they increased some of his other budget items too. So that was that. And then we have the brand new Bay Point Youth Academy program. That's through a Koshland grant through San Francisco Foundation. Last year only went, it didn't start till May 15th, so it was only a month and a half. So it was only 8,000 last year, but this year we get 75,000 for each of the next 3 years to run that program. So when we redo this year's budget, we'll have that all in there, which we didn't know last year. The spend this $22,000, what do we pay for that? $22,000 was for the pool.
Yes.
Yeah. We had the reserve in the assessment funds from last year, about $64,000, I think, and we used $22,000 of that for a shortage in the pool project, which was done. Other than that, did anybody have any questions on the income?
No.
Okay.
And the water savings that we've had at Lindbergh Park is put into a reserve for that particular park. It is.
We had a carryover.
We had a carryover.
For that of $5,706.
Coincidentally, the same cost and the amount that the
and then,
the,
yeah. And now we're spending $15,000 and $20,000.
Yes. So it did help to pay for the slide.
Yeah. So hopefully it'll we'll
net
break
zero
even
on that one. That's right.
This year. Other than that, yeah.
So the slide can thank the well.
The slide can thank the well, yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But, the well has been a good thing that we did.
I also noticed that you guys repaired things, and it just seemed like one hand washed the other, because one, like you said, there was water coming out of the park over here, and then over here, it was
the
slide. So it all works out.
Yeah, generally speaking.
Yeah. let's see. Most of the other things in the expenses that I noted were pretty self-explanatory, I believe. As far as the capital projects, we had enough in the general fund to cover most of the capital projects we had this year, and I think I noted in the notes what it all covered. Yeah, $13,000 for two AC units we had to replace,
yes.
and the new phone system and a computer and what have you. But we had enough in general fund to cover that. The assessment we just had we had enough in the assessment to cover those. The ceiling and paint project, the county ended up paying $17,100 of that project, and we bought the ceiling tiles was, oh no, the $1,900 was for the painting of the walls, and then we paid $4,750 for the tiles that they're going to replace, that we're going to replace. Our guys are going to replace them in there, so it'll look like a new auditorium. Yep, so, and that's about it. Do you have any questions?
Either way, you have any questions? You know, I think everything looks good, because I did go over it a bit.
I try and make it simple as possible, because it is kind of daunting when you look at all those pages of figures.
Yeah. It's like you said, self-explanatory.
It's
really good.
Yeah, and remember, the budgets are just an estimate of what we're doing. It's a guideline of what we're going to spend. And when you consider that we get $70,000 in additional tax revenue that we can't predict, and we had $190,000 carryover, that means that Mary Jane's estimate was about 10% of the budget, which is really, really good. And it's the 10% on the good side that we had of the $1 million budget that we have, that we had saved. So combined with the additional tax, that gets us to the 190. And the 190 is then carried over, and we can put that into reserve funds to do what the board sees fit. And a lot of it is putting out fires, like I said, maintenance stuff that keeps us keeps her head above water to a certain degree. So,
yeah, the property taxes just threw me this year because the December pull, the people paid in December, what they reported to me in January was not, it was about the same as last year. So I was kind of freaking out going, we're going to be. But it ended up, the second half, there was extra. So I, yeah, it's hard to predict when they hold things back. But it's good, yeah. It was good. I was happy.
Well, first, Mary Jane, I want to say thank you, because you always make this hideous, long budget something that we can understand and at the end of the day, make some decisions on that. So
you're welcome.
Madam Chair, I make a motion that the board approve the final 2016-17 operating budget.
I second it.
Director Oakland?
Aye.
Director Garcia?
Aye.
Director Lopez Garcia?
Aye.
The record show Director Torlakson and Director Hudson are absent.
Okay. Nine B, consider approval to participate in the Cal Card Purchasing Program and authorize the general manager to execute a subscription agreement.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We've been operating with credit cards from Wells Fargo Bank. One has the former general manager's name on it, and it can be a little problematic when one of our, if our staff goes out to use the card, sometimes there can be questions asked and the transaction isn't as smooth as we'd like it to be. The card is used to purchase for different programs. Often, sometimes it's hard to trace down what was purchased and which program to attribute that to. We do the best we can. Mary Jane does a good job at tracking down the receipts and putting it in the right columns. However, this has been problematic ever since I've been here, and I keep promising Mary Jane that we'll address the issue, and it's just come time. Part of the reason was that one of the cards was...
They maxed one of the cards out and they closed the account. Even if we've had that card for almost 20 years, and it's Wells Fargo, sorry, but they just closed it because we were over our limit one time. Whoa. Anyways, I am glad to have them gone. But
so that's a little problematic. So this program is specifically designed for municipalities and government agencies. It's a procurement card. It's not a credit card because it requires you pay it full, and that's how municipalities operate. As you know, we get our bill in and we approve it on a monthly basis. So the procurement card, the advantages of the Cal card is everybody gets an assigned card. So our staff will have their individual names on it. Only they can use that card. Only the card holder is capable of using that card. And that card can be limited in terms of the amount of money that can be spent and what vendors can be used. So we can control it as much as we want. We can limit people to a $500 limit, and they can go to vendors A, B, and C. And everybody that makes purchases is given a card, and they're responsible for that card. They're responsible for reconciling their expenditures during that billing cycle. So there's a greater accountability. We have that accountability now, but this one actually really does outline how you have to assign accounts for it. And so when Mary Jane gets it, she's ensuring that they put the correct information on there. So this is just, it's a much better way for purchasing, especially for purchasing over the internet or things that that you need that would otherwise take a lengthy process. This expedites the process by having this card. So anyway, this is the request to be part of this program. It's very commonly used. Municipalities all around us use CalCard, and so we will be joining a large group of government agencies that utilize this particular service. So this is a request that we enter this program.
Any questions?
At work, I have the same thing, and because I'm this site supervisor there, I have my own car too. It works wonderful. Even for the bookkeeping, it's so much easier. You know, because you get that one bill of your own bill, and then you go put your papers in, and it's over, and it's done, and it's paid for, and then, you know, but it works wonderful. You will just fall in love with this. It's really wonderful. I'll agree 100%.
No, ma'am. I make a motion that we authorize the general manager to execute a subscription contract for the CalCard purchasing program.
I second it.
Director Hoagland.
Aye.
Director Lopez Garcia. Lupe Garcia. Director Garcia.
Aye.
At the record show, Director Hudson and Director Torlakson are absent.
Discussion regarding park entry signs.
Yes, Madam Chair, we... We inherited a number of county parks, as you know. Not any of the county parks are signed. And you'll notice a lot of those parks are part of development, and they were developer-built parks. They're called pocket parks or micro parks. There's a lot of different names for them. And they're usually generally attracting the local neighborhood. They're not much bigger than, you know, an acre. We have, the district has a couple of bigger parks, larger community parks. Lynbrook, of that group, Lynbrook is the largest park. There are no entryway signs at any of our parks, no way to identify them as Ambrose District Parks. So the discussion is, you know, how do we want to proceed with this? If you'll notice the report, we're thinking about signs that are referred to as monument signs, that very similar to the ones we have out front here. The reason that parks, municipalities use monument signs is because they're structurally very sound and very vandal-proof. If you put a wood or a composite sign out there, they're much more susceptible to vandalism and to damage. And so, you know, I would recommend that we would put size-appropriate signs that are consistent. What you want to do also, I mentioned in the staff report, is branding. So when people go to the parks, they know instantly by the sign, the color, the shape, that park is representing the district. They know who's responsible and who's providing that service to the community. So you can tell that there is a difference in the cost of the signs. If you get some of the more simple signs that are composite, they are much less upfront cost with them. Over the longer period of time, you're talking about actual materials and staff time, and they can become costly if they have to keep replacing or repairing those particular signs. Whereas monument signs, we would anticipate that we would have a consistent paint. They would just have to be painted. If there were graffiti issues, we could put anti-graffiti material on them to make it more difficult to damage the signs. So the most pressing is obviously the sign leading into Ambrose Park. Now, Ambrose Park has their sign. They do have a sign there, but it's not until you get all the way back there do you see the sign. Now that we have the pool active, there are more people looking for the park, and you know, it's not entirely at I believe at some time they were leading people to Clearland. Sometimes the Google Maps isn't always the best way to get there, but nevertheless, we need to consider creating an entryway sign for Ambrose. And that would consist of working with the county, because we would need a sign easement to place a sign on the county property. We don't have any property this side of the park itself. And other than that, the other parks, again, you know, we can certainly try to identify them and come up with something that the board may be interested in. So this item is before you just for discussion only, and to provide staff with any direction that you would be interested in pursuing.
Madam Chair, I'm the one that called about the sign at Ambrose Park. Ambrose Park is the jewel of our district, and we should all be screaming and hollering about how great it is. unfortunately, the sign is hidden by the irises that are planted in front of it. And so if you get there, you don't know that you're there because it's hidden. The sign that's out here on the main road says who we are. It identifies us. We're proud of the fact this is Ambrose Community Center. And branding, as Doug said, is a big deal. We want people that go to Lynbrook to know that this is Ambrose.
Yeah,
you know, we want people who go to Anuda to know that this is Ambrose. Anuda's sign is one of those other option signs that he talked about. It's been fixed, replaced, repaired, repainted more times than anybody around here can count. And to go to a sign like these, I mean, they're cement and they're expensive, but they're beautiful.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's right.
Everybody talks about those kinds of signs. And when you go to conferences and stuff and you go to other cities and you see what they have, they're all going to that. It's like the picnic tables, you know, we all used to have wooden picnic tables. Now nobody has wooden picnic tables, we all have concrete picnic tables because they're safer as far as for vandalism. If a guy whacks one of those, he goes away, you know, with a boing effect and it didn't take any damage. If they, as he said, if they tag it for some reason, the staff can clean it or paint it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's a great idea. I think that we should be proud of all of our parks. I think that we should be proud that Ambrose is a part of the community and put our logo out at all of our parks. And people ought to know where they're at. I mean, when you're at Lynbrook Park, you ought to be proud you're at Lynbrook Park. Mm-hmm. And so I would like to see the board guide the general manager towards the precast concrete signage for all of our facilities and to enter into an agreement with the county to do something. His idea of putting a sign out, you know, on the what would be the Orbisonia property out in front to draw all, I mean, think about, you know, Monday through Friday, how many people drive on Bailey Road in front of that intersection that don't know that park exists, that don't know that aquatic center exists. And so the attendance that we have this year could be blown away if mm-hmm. they simply knew there was a park back there.
Yeah.
So I would like to see us guide him in that direction.
I agree with that because I even had people asking me when I was there with my son, we were doing some painting, some graffiti, and they were asking us where the pool was. And I would say, we have to go, you see the store, see the light right there, you see the vacant lots? Go between that, go all the way, you can only find you're going to deserted places, but it's right there, just keep going, you'll see it. But if we could have a direction, saying Lynbrook, you know, Ambrose Park over here with pool, with the directions, and that would be perfect. I agree with that 100%, and then letting everybody know that this is our park.
Well, and I think that you know, given the supervisor has supported us on our pool itself, on the aquatic center, and he supports the district, that asking him and the county for help, you know, if we do it now before they start to develop it, then when they develop it to a commercial facility, our sign will already be there, and the developer who's developing that facility can have our signage already in the drawings to know it's got to stay there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
Well, the spirit of Miss Gloria Matovy is in the room. That's all she wanted, all of it. I remember when we got these, she was static, and she wanted that type of sign in all the parts there. So I think you guys need to move on, and it is an expense, but like we said, I think that they last forever.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, we could buy cheaper signs, and in a couple of years we would have to replace them or repair them. So I think you should continue to, you know, follow up on the cost, and like we were saying, the one over there by on Bailey. You know, it needs to be not just a good size
sign, but it needs to be placed perfectly in because of the, you know, people turning left and people coming down. So it really needs to be thought out of how you're gonna place that sign, especially if we're gonna spend, you know, a little dough on it. So you did good. Thank you. Does anybody have any?
No, I think it's positive.
So do we go ahead and recommend that you continue?
You've given me enough direction for me to go on. Thank you.
Moving on. Public hearing, and there's none. We have no closed session, and we have committee reports or comments and items for the next agenda.
Madam Chair, I want to make sure that you all are aware of September 20th, the ice cream social that will be held, or the root beer social that will be held at the Antioch Water Park on behalf of the State Association and the City of Antioch, inviting all commissioners and board members from the Bay Area to attend. And on October the 7th, there is a commissioner and board member training that is being held in Livermore. By the Livermore Recreation and Park District. They're hosting the association doing this training. If you've not been to one and you're a new commissioner or board member, it's a great thing to learn. And for those of us that have been around for a while, it's great to be reminded of what it is that we do. I would share with staff that the September 20th ice cream thing, you all are welcome to come. And so know that in advance. And then as for items on a future agenda, I would like to talk about us all going to the CPRS conference this year as a group.
For the agenda?
For next, okay.
Sometime during the agenda. It's not till March, but I don't know when the because they have early.
Coming up.
I think it's almost done.
Registration?
The
it's
and
like
you
October 3rd or something.
You get a discounted registration by being a member of the State Association, but if you don't do it early, when they start whacking you, they whack you really good.
Anything else? Lupe?
What's the date on that one?
On the
conference in
March.
It's in March.
She doesn't know for sure.
2018, okay.
Anything else?
No, I don't have. Oh, about the dunes. We're having a tour of Antioch Dunes National Wildlife, if anybody would like to go. We will meet inside. We'll meet at the Habitat, and the address is 501 Wilbur Avenue, Antioch, California. Parking is limited, so if we could please meet here at Ambrose, I guess about 8:30, and then we could all carpool together over there, okay, for the sand dunes tour in Antioch.
Y'all got
them.
What's the date?
Or the 30th.
This should be flyers.
September 30th.
Okay. And there's two page. Okay, you done?
Yes, ma'am.
I think you mentioned it, Mary Jane, the open house for the Bay Point Fellows from the San Francisco Foundation. That is going to happen, I guess, on the 28th of this month. And as I understand, we are all invited to attend because they want to hear our concerns and they want to tell us what they're planning. So I think it'll be a really good thing for us to attend.
Bay Point Youth Academy grand opening.
I think they're.
Right.
I haven't got anything on it.
Okay, I will let Jackie know. And it is the
28th
at
6:30.
Her here.
So oh, here? Oh, perfect.
I'll give Jackie all your emails so she can send you notices.
Please, want to make sure we're there supporting.
All right, and I think that's it. As you mentioned, so that's all I have.
So, Madam Chair, we do have the one item that we'd like to bring to October about the ADA access, and will the county be ready at that time with the costs and what the... Okay, so we will be bringing that because we need permission to spend money on that from the board, so we'll be bringing it to you to let you know exactly what the share of our...
cost on ADA.
Yes.
Closing ceremonies.
Madam Chair, I don't know how to do this. It's been done by the same two people for so long that I'm not sure.
That's right.
This could be a very long meeting while we wait for them to get here.
That's right.
Madam Chair, I will move for midterm.
Unanimous.